And welcome, everybody, to Brine Time with Jake and Jeremiah, the weekly podcast where we talk about true stories of the paranormal and occult.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Pickles Baseball.
That makes a lot more sense. Let's talk about Pickles Baseball.
Okay, I mean, I love Satanism.
Right.
Look at me. I have a pentagram tattooed on my chest. Oh, yes, we are
back. That's not true. That's not true.
That's not true. Sorry, we're a family program, and we don't endorse any religion.
We don't.
But we do endorse
Pickles Baseball.
Pickles
baby.
Nation, baby. Here we go. So
the Pickle Report. Every week
you'll talk
the show with the pickle.
Wins and losses.
Yeah.
So let's see. Now when we last left you folks, our boys were playing the Gresham Grey Wolves.
Yeah.
Exhibition ball, not counting in the stats.
Right.
Just the Gresham Grey Wolves, as some of you may know, are an independent team, so they kind of bounce around. And
they're
play.
Local. So
they're local, but they don't play. They're not in the West Coast League.
Right.
They're not an official member. I wonder if that will change maybe in the next year or two.
There's been a lot of news.
There's been some news.
News.
So we went to one of these games.
Yeah, we went to the first game. It was $2 Tuesday. Amazing crowd on hand.
I feel like almost 2,000 people were there. I think they announced it, actually. It was close to 2,000 people.
It was just under, yeah.
I don't know. I'm always blown away that 2,000 people on a Tuesday will show up. That's so cool to me.
It is rat. I mean, that's rat.
That's awesome.
And that, the $2 beers helps a lot.
And the $6 tickets and the $2 pickle. Like, everything is cheap. It's great.
But the games, you know, the hard work these boys are putting in.
Yep.
Not cheap.
Not cheap. So, yeah, we were there. Xander Clark hit a 3-run homer. I remember that. It was beautiful.
Yeah, Xander Clark.
He just came back. He was the Great West League.
Yeah, last year. He was the offensive player of the year. He had the most home runs in the whole league.
14 dingers.
He just came back. He's been with us 6 games again, and he's killing it.
Yeah, he's kind of a big dude.
He's a big
dude. He's a masher.
He's huge.
Yeah. I saw, like, I was sitting out in the left field, like, on the left field.
Oh, on the berm, yeah.
And I was just like, man, that kid's big.
Yeah.
Walking up there all big.
3-run homer in that one.
Yeah.
And then game two, they shut him out 7-0. And then 12-1 in the...
So they swept them Grey Wolves. And we don't have a lot of hate for Gresham. I mean,
no.
They're our neighbors. They're not Corvallis.
They're actually, they're under the same ownership umbrella as us, too.
So I guess we
really have to be nice to them. But it was good baseball, too. They had some good pitching.
They did.
The first game, that game that we went to was really good.
Yeah, it was solid.
And then we had... Back in the league, we're back in the league against the Walla Walla Sweets.
Some road ball
games. And then the first game there, it was a 5-4. They lost in the walk-off.
They did, which kind of was a bummer. I was following it on Twitter, and I saw that they lost.
I watched the second one.
Yeah, and on Facebook?
That was the one where...
they won. They won 4-1 in game 2.
Yeah.
And then they lost on the last one.
That was the one. So it was a game 3 where Gio Diaz got caught in a rundown in the very first inning, and you could literally hear somebody in the audience go, "Oh, he's in a pickle now," which I thought was really clever and funny, and the fact that the mic picked it up.
Oh, I
and
just watched the Sandlot, too.
Yeah.
Pickle! It's a pickle!
but yeah, Walla Walla had a 5-run fifth inning on that one, and that capped it off, and then we had the tying run at the plate in the ninth and just couldn't.
Yeah,
couldn't convert, but
so you know, an okay week, but
ups and downs,
ups
strikes
and
gutters,
strikes and gutters, baby. Oh, we both know the Big Lebowski. so that's your pickle report. We're excited that the boys are coming back home. We'll tell you about the schedule at the end of the show for sure. But
we got a big away series against Corvallis.
These nights,
and then we'll get to all that at the end of the show.
Time now for our pickle
of the week.
Man, we are becoming more drive time every time we do this thing.
Yeah, we're going to have our own morning show here. Yeah. Before you know it, there'll be like honk noises. Yeah, like
the whole soundboard, I'm like,
the traffic report from up in the chopper.
What do you see up there? Ah, we're going down. Okay, back to baseball.
Come on, guys. Focus.
Our pick of the week is John Beller, number 33. He is a pitcher.
More like John Baller.
Baller. This fool is balling out of control. He's from Hermosa Beach.
Just fun to say, right?
Hermosa Beach.
Hermosa Beach.
He's a southpaw. He's a lefty.
Goes to Southern California University of.
I feel like...
Just call it USC.
USC, yeah. No one... Yeah. 5'11"'s... I know. It says Southern California...
University of.
Sophomore, 5'11". And this guy, he's appeared in 4 games. Check this stat. He's 0-1 with a .49 ERA. He's given up 1 run out of, let's see, he's pitched, where are we at? 18.1 innings. He's given up
24
1
strikeouts.
Run, only 7 walks, and he's only given up 8 hits. .49, he gave up 1 run and lost. So
the 1 run he gave up against Walla Walla
was the deciding run.
That was the game they lost. But before that, he'd gone 12 2/3 consecutive innings scoreless.
Yep, and only 4 hits, honestly. So the dude is a beast.
Yeah, John Beller.
John Beller, number 33. Show him some love this week.
We salute you. You are
our pickle
of the week.
And as always, not only do we highlight a pickle ball player.
Oh, there's no jar noise tonight.
There's no jars. There's weird bags.
We got some.
So
bags.
We had a fun day today. We went over because look, let's be real, fans. Jeremiah and I kind of have been dropping the ball on these pickle of the week. We've been hustling. I got a $4.99 of kosher dills at my local. Quick stop. Jeremiah got some baby Gherks for $2. So I was like, look, dude, I'm going to make it a thing. And I've been telling everybody, I'm going to get some good pickles. So we were over doing another interview today on Fun Employment Radio. And I was like, look, there's this gourmet pickle producer, basically,
yeah,
that I found.
I didn't know anything about it. It's legit.
So we went down in this basement, ring his little bell. He's got a green bell and a red bell because he does dill, super dill, and he does pretty hot.
Pretty hot.
Green and red. And it comes out. This guy's name is Stu from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Stu.
We're like, hey, man, can we get some pickles? He's like, cash only. We're like, we don't have any cash. He goes, well, I'm a wholesaler. I don't really do this. He's kind of like, he's East Coast. He's old school East Coast.
He was like, you want pickles or not?
And we were like, dude, we do this pickles podcast. And so he starts talking, big baseball fan.
Pittsburgh guy, East Coast guy.
And he goes back. He's like, how about I just give you a pickle? Guy. And as he's walking away, Jeremiah goes, you're the best. He goes, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Don't be telling people that.
Oh, it was beautiful. So check his stuff out.
Shout out to Brian Moon.
Moon Brian. East Coast Stew, we're calling him.
Yeah.
You can go on his website. He mostly does wholesale, but if you go down there, you can buy one of these jars. It's just moonbrine.com. Check them out. We salute and support pickles. So we're going to try it. So he gave us one of the pretty hot. And he was kind of like, yo, you can do the deal. And we're like, no, we got this. So
my fair skin and red hair and was like, I don't think you can handle the pretty hot.
Yeah.
But
all right. Cheers, bud.
Cheers, bud.
Here we go. Oh, that's good.
That's not that hot.
No. And he said that.
It's
got kick. But Jeremiah, you just said it wasn't that hot.
Eyes. It's kind of it's kind of burning my face.
Oh, man.
No, it's really good, though.
I love the crunch.
What kind of hot is that? Like,
it's like peppery.
It's kind of like sriracha.
It's not that spicy to me.
Yeah.
It's
like the vinegar and the spicy together.
It's definitely like vinegary, kind of peppery. Here's the thing. I like crunchy pickles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of these kind of like softer ones. This has a really nice crunch to it.
It's crunchy. We chilled them.
Yeah.
To the appropriate temperature for Jake's liking.
Oh, man. I'm a big fan of this one.
Moonbrine.
Right. Moonbrine. Moonbrine.com. Go check out East Coast Stew. So, okay. We have a rating system.
Yeah. If you haven't been following along, we have a new rating system.
So we do single A, okay, double A, good, triple A, really good, and then best pickle is a major leaguer. Now,
Little League is not good, which we haven't had yet.
I hope we don't run. I don't want to run it. That's like one of those gas station, like pickled eggs kind of crap. All right. What are you calling this?
Pig's feet.
Ugh. I'm calling this at least triple A.
At least AAA. Yeah. I mean,
how many pickles have you had in your life, honestly? Do you have a
thousands, yeah.
Do you have a pretty wide palette of pickle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to say maybe not the best pickle I've ever had.
I don't think, I mean, yeah, but this is a damn good pickle.
And this isn't like the pickle I would pick.
Because it's spicy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like it. I'm glad we did get this.
I want to go back to East Coast Stewing and try his other one, the dill. But this was, I'm going to say, I think we're pretty on point here with AAA. This is a AAA pickle, for
sure. This is like AAA all-star.
Yeah, like, he's definitely been called up.
Right.
Like, he's got his stints.
He's got a cup of coffee in the bigs, yeah.
Yeah. He probably has a couple at-bats, but, yeah, I'm a big fan.
So shout-out to John Beller.
John Beller, pick of our week.
East Coast Stew.
And then East Coast Stew down at Moonbrine. Check both those guys out. Give them shout-outs. Give them love this week. And, yeah, I'm going to just keep chewing this pickle.
Pickle of the week.
Pickle, pickle, pickle.
You might be in trouble.
Well, buddy, I got a couple questions to ask you.
Yeah?
You was on a little trip, a little baseball trip with your honey boo.
Yeah, we called it our baseball odyssey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
epic poem, was it?
It was.
Yeah, so.
I got home and some dude was with my wife. Isn't that basically what happens in the odyssey?
Yeah, a suitor, a bunch of suitors. A
lot of suitors.
But she was with you. How are they with her?
I don't know.
Yeah, time travel. Anyways, so tell me, you, Jeremiah, was on a little baseball trip on the East Coast. Where'd you go?
We did 4 games in 5 days. We started at Yankee Stadium on Thursday. We did Fenway Park on Friday night. No game Saturday. Washington Nationals Park on Sunday night. And then finished it all up last night at Camden Yards in Baltimore, Maryland.
And 3 out of these 4 games were against the Seattle Mariners, correct?
Yeah, so the Seattle Mariners played 3 of them, and then the Nationals played the Phillies.
Beautiful.
And the Mariners were terrible the first 2 games. Well, not terrible. They lost 4-3 in the first one. It was like the Yankees scored 4 runs in the first, and then
couldn't come back.
The second game at Fenway, it was 14-10.
After the Mariners were up 10-4.
Yeah.
So that was a kind of a bummer.
Because I kind of started talking some smack. Yeah, I got a little boisterous.
Yeah, and then those
at Fenway.
A Bostonian slur. What do you call it? Like, what's a mean thing to say to Bostonian?
Like a
bean breath?
Yeah, a bean eater. Bean towner.
Bean towner. Okay.
Yeah.
And then who won against who's the National Phillies?
So the Nationals and Phillies, that was my first ever rain delay because we just got dumped on for
really?
Like 17 minutes. And yeah, I've never, because I go to Seattle games.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have rain delays.
Yeah.
And
ton of rain, no delays.
Yeah. So we cheered for the Nationals and they won. That was 8-6. There was a lot of offense in that one too.
Oh, you didn't get to see Scherzer pitch?
No, it wasn't Scherzer. And then
it would have been a 1-0 game.
The Orioles last night, the Mariners won 5-3 in a really good game.
Perfect.
And it was really cool. And I got to if any of you guys are following on the Instagram feed, I was taking my little paper cutout of Dylan.
Yeah, we had a business card with Dylan on it.
Yeah, I was putting him in like Yankee Stadium, like
beautiful
pictures with Babe Ruth and Ted Williams, and like superimposing. He was like Forrest Gump, you know, just going around.
I feel like
superimposed into
the Great Bambino. Probably was a pickle man.
Oh yeah,
he looks like he would enjoy a good pickle.
Yeah, by the dozen.
Yeah, just by the barrel.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, I was wearing my pickles hat, so I got a lot of people asking questions like, "What the hell?" Like, we're at Fenway Park, and you know, like, "Hey, what's your hat say there?"
Hey there, big ginger. What's your what was up with the pickles there?
Yeah, and so it was fun. You know, obviously everybody compares. If you say collegiate wood bat baseball, especially out there, they say Cape Cod League. And
like the Cape Cod boys.
Yeah, and it's like, no, we're better.
We're better.
They didn't like that, but.
Just throw up the West Coast, go, yeah, yeah, bro, it's the West Coast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, West Side till I die.
West Side till I die.
But, they, you know, people were nice, and, you know, anytime you talk baseball with people, you know, like I went into a bagel shop on the Upper East Side in New York, it was so good. I ate bagels for breakfast in Central Park. It was beautiful.
And boy, that is a New York moment.
It was pretty awesome. But I went in there, and the guy's like, "What's up with your Mariners?" Like, you know, and it was like... He's like, because they all know Robinson Cano.
I thought you said Mariners for a second.
Yeah, no, Mariners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they all know Robbie Cano. And
yeah, of
so
course.
It's like
traitor.
Yeah.
They view him as a traitor.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got
with his PEDs and his broken hand.
I got
you get what you deserve.
I got told to sit down a lot with the, you know, at the Yankee.
But would you have wanted to be, you know, that's the whole point of the trip. You don't want to be treated
nice. I'm wearing my Mariners stuff for a reason, you know, so it was like, it's mostly my own family was like, sit down, jerk off.
Sports are a great place to be civilly uncivil.
Right.
You can be like, hey, we all kind of know we're talking a little smack. It doesn't need to leave the stadium where we're boys after. But like, yeah, dude, you came into our turf and you're wearing the wrong color. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Well, I love that.
Baseball's at least, you know, like NFL, like you'll get assaulted. But but baseball is better. And there was a time. So one of the outfielders for the Red Sox like ran into the Green Monster and fell down. And was, I don't know if he was hurt. He was hurt, but not injured. And so I pulled the
old... roughed up. I mean, yeah.
I pulled the old... from the Karate Kid, where he's like, get him a body bag! And I thought that was funny, but there was a bunch of people at Fenway that didn't think that was funny. And then, well, of course, Seattle was winning at that point. Once they were not winning, some people had some words for me. Like, on my way out, there was some guy who was like, where's your body bag now, boy? And I was like... I don't know if he wanted to fight or whatever. Yeah. And then he was like, nah, and like shook my hand.
Nah, well,
you're cool.
Yeah, you're fine.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I was like, all right, I don't know. I mean, this dude was in a walking boot already. So I'm guessing, I don't know. He was just like.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, he's a Boston tough guy.
He was like the character that Ben Affleck is actually based on.
Yeah.
You know, one of those guys.
But you know, Affleck, I'm like the guy in the town. I don't know. I cannot do a Boston accent.
Can't,
I cannot at all.
It's adorable to watch you try.
I'm just trying to get these acting chops up. Hey there.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Now I'm doing it poorly like you.
I'm sorry.
Anyway. And
sounds like a fun trip, though, man.
We had a great trip.
Yeah.
And I missed my pickles. I missed home. And
Brian Barn was waiting here.
Yeah, but that was the other thing. You saw that picture yesterday. Right across the street from Camden Yards is a place called Pickles Pub.
Yeah.
And there was a dude in a Pickles outfit, and I had my Pickles hat on. I took a selfie with him, and it's just like this huge place, and they had like shirts that say, like, I got brined at Pickles Pub and stuff like that.
Oh, beautiful.
They were $30. I wasn't going to, but still.
But they probably do picklebacks there then.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
They definitely
do
picklebacks there.
Camden Yards, beautiful park, guys. If you get a chance, go to all those places.
I know, and I love, because you were saying, what is the Nationals one called?
It's just called Nationals Park.
Dude, I wish Major League Baseball would go back to no sponsored state. Like,
right.
Camden Yards, it sounds like a place, like, oh, there we go, Nationals Park, not Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yankee Stadium.
You actually got to see a bunch of the ones that still have at least just some class.
Yeah.
But cool, man. Well, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad the trip was a success. I was following you on Instagram and stuff. It was super cool.
It's been really fun.
I'm just like vicariously having summer vacations through my friends because I'm just at work in an office. I'm like, man, that looks dope not to be inside right now. So, yeah, well, glad to have you back in the Brian Barn, baby.
Everybody, this is our segment Inside the Jar, where weekly we talk to somebody from inside Pickle Nation, whether it be a coach, a player, somebody from the front office, a super fan. This week we've got kind of a mix of all of the above, I think. You know, it's the unofficial Portland Pickles photographer, David Shinson.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So to start off, how did you give us a little background, who you are, how long you've been into the Pickles?
Well, I've been into the Pickles really probably since their fifth game. And we heard that baseball was coming to Southeast Portland, and my family lives in Southeast Portland. My daughter plays softball. My youngest son, he plays baseball, and we really love the idea of going to watch baseball games. So the first year the Pickles were around, we went to a couple of games and said, wow, this is really very cool.
Yeah.
You know, enjoyed it a lot. And we ended up going to about 20 games that season.
Wow, so instant fans.
Instant fans, and, you know, we sat all over the place and talked to, you know, some of the ticket sales guys, Kevin Herbst specifically, who said, hey, we're going to do season tickets next year. Why don't you get in on the ground floor while you can? And sure enough, we decided we were going to buy some season tickets. And we went to, I believe, 30 games last year. And we're planning on going to hopefully 32 this year. So
beautiful.
We've only missed one this year. So
yeah. Man. Did they win?
They did.
Okay. Because if they had lost, I was going to say,
you were the
charm.
It would have been disappointing.
No more misses for you.
I did send a family member representative, though. My oldest daughter
went. So the bloodline has been at almost every Portland. This is beautiful.
That is great. So tell us how kind of the unofficial photographer, because we know that you post a lot of stuff for them, and it seems like looking at some of the galleries that you've sent us of pictures, some great stuff in there.
You got quite a collection.
Thanks.
And so how did that kind of come about?
So I've always done some sports photography for my kids' games, and you know, the families always appreciate it, and kind of acquired some equipment to do that. And you know, just carried that over to the Pickles. I kind of introduced myself to the Pickles photographer the first year that we were there and said, hey, I'm going to bring my camera, and wanted to check that out, make sure it was okay. And they said, oh, yeah, it's fine. Just bring your camera. No one seemed to really care whether you brought a big long lens in.
The beauty of college. We don't care.
You know, it's not major league. So I brought my camera and took some shots and kind of shared them with a couple of the people there. And I think I did that on two nights during those first the first season that we were there. And then the second season, I said, oh, you know, might as well do a little bit more of this. And it turned out there was some, I don't know, difficulties between the official Pickles photographer and the team. And we had met some of the players, and they were saying, you know, hey, we don't have any pictures of us playing this year. And, you know, you've got your camera here. If you can send us the link, we'd love to have them. And I said, it'd be my pleasure. So, you know, just started taking pictures. I don't bring my camera to every game. I probably bring it, you know, maybe once a week and take pictures. And we've gotten to know the players over the course of the seasons. We have front row seats right next to the warm-up circles for the Pickles. So my kid talks to them, and we introduce ourselves, and we give them fist bumps and kind
That's
of
awesome.
Share experiences with them. And as a result, have been able to connect with them and give them photos, and they've really enjoyed it. And I don't charge for my photos. They're really just my pleasure to share with the team, and it's kind of my contribution to them being here.
You're a member of the Pickles community now. You've ingrained yourself.
I've tried to do that, absolutely.
No, it's great. We were talking before we went on air, is that like the whole beauty of this is that it is just like this kind of community event. It's affordable. There's just neighborhood people there.
Yeah, just the fact that he can bring any
kind
of camera on.
Yeah, you just bring a camera and you have access to the players because you're right behind the
These
dugout.
May not be disseminated without the express written consent of the
Major
Pickles.
League Baseball, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Yeah, and that's why it's so cool.
Yeah, and it's really been enjoyable, and I think, you know, the players have used them. They share them on their Instagram sites and their Facebook sites. And I've had family members of Pickles players come up and say, yeah, where can I get those pictures? And it's just a pleasure to share them with them. You know, all these players, they stay with host families. So the host families a lot of times would like to have pictures of the kids that stayed with them and what they did as a kind of memorabilia from the summer. And it's really enjoyable to share them. Had the opportunity to get to know a couple of the parents of some of the players who've actually come out to visit. One night, they actually were sitting in our seats. We came late for the game, and I had to turn to them and said, look, you guys are sitting in our seats. And it turns out it was actually Xander Clark's parents.
Oh, nice.
And they'd come up from California. They actually live, you know, about 10 miles from where I grew up, so we had some things in common, places to talk about, and it turned out we had a couple of extra seats that night, so they just moved over two seats, and we enjoyed spending the evening chatting with them, and I still actually send them photographs. You know, Xander's up to bat, I'll take a video of a hit that he has, and I'll send it to them, and they feel like they're at the game, and it's been nice to kind of carry on that relationship. I've done that with a couple of the other parents as well.
Man, that is awesome.
That is really cool. So a lot of the photography that you do is sort of from your seats, or do you wander around, or, I mean, have you...
I actually wander around. I mean, we have some pretty good...
yeah, it's pretty
good angle from where
right?
we are,
yeah.
But it's also a little bit close for the lens that I'm using.
Oh,
so I actually, my favorite places to shoot are really right next to the dugout, the Pickles dugout, kind of towards home plate. There's a nice little gap in the netting. And it gives you a great view of shortstop, second base. You can catch first base. So I usually try and do some infield shots there. I really like to get pictures of the slides at second base on the stolen bases. Those are always fun.
Which there are plenty.
There are always plenty of them.
Stolen bases, yeah.
Collegiate wood bat, there's always plenty of stolen bases.
Number one stat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, usually head over to the first base dugout for batting, you know, and I usually get some shots behind the mound, or actually behind home plate, the pitchers, because they're a little harder to shoot. And you're a little more intrusive, so I try and do that actually between innings. And,
yeah.
And
you
get
got
some of the shots.
Close calls over
there. Yeah, I was wondering, you got close to getting beamed by any foul balls?
No, I'm pretty careful. I've been doing it for years, so, you know, you got to watch the ball first.
Yeah. Be aware.
Move out of the way.
Always be aware, yeah.
And you're pretty well protected.
Right.
So.
Now, you've been to almost every Pickles home game. Have you seen any crazy stuff outside of photography? Has there been any, like, yo, this guy got super drunk, or...
There was a fight like 2 weeks ago, right?
I think we heard about a fight at some point at one of the games.
I heard there was a fight. I didn't catch any of the details.
Oh, man, it's like a Bigfoot story.
Yeah.
There was 10 guys. Like, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Who knows what happened?
Yeah, I mean, there's always some interesting characters at the game.
Six bucks is a pretty low bar to enter any public space.
And
so
especially like on a $2 Tuesday night, right? You're getting some interesting people there. But... you know, I think most of the people who come are pretty down to earth, and you know, they enjoy the game. We certainly enjoy the people we sit near, and they're all very respectful. And you know, every once in a while, someone has too much to drink, but it actually just brings out some more humor.
Yeah,
and a lot of heckling.
Well, yeah, in that stadium, we were just talking about this today. We were talking to some friends, and it was. You know, there's no place to hide. Like, if you're going to say something, you better be ready for whatever's going to come your way. Like,
if you talk a little too spicy, everybody knows where that heat's coming from.
I remember yelling at the ump, like, just a balls and strike. Like, come on, Blue. And then you turn around. He's
he's like, hey.
Looking right at you.
They know it's you.
I can see you, man. Yeah. So one of the things that we've been asked about, and people keep, and we're trying to, like, same idea, like, get this legend, is this... like the lifting the chairs thing, all right? So do you have any, like, backstory on that? Or it's like, because it seems like it's very organic, right? Like, it's just like, oh, it just kind of happened one day because of their unique dugout situation, and now...
Right, players do it. The family section does it. I see people in the behind home plate have little cutouts of chairs.
Yeah, they have little paper chairs.
So do you know anything about this?
I mean, what I know...
It's a hot topic.
...is I do believe it started in the bullpen.
Okay.
I think it might have been last year. It could have been the year before. And Ben Malika, who's actually, I think, one of the official Pickles photographers.
Oh, yeah, we know
Ben. Their media. Yep. He actually knows the whole story.
Okay.
So I would encourage you guys to talk to him.
Okay.
And I think it's one of those cool things.
It is one of those cool things.
Building chair architecture out in the outfield and in between innings. And they pull those chairs off and they turn them upside down and raise them up.
We're like on the party deck, and we're doing it like with the owner. Like the owner, you know, we're sitting there with him doing the chair thing. Like it's a fun thing, you know, and it's like you don't have to have the backstory, but people have been reached out to us on Instagram.
During games.
And are hey, why is this happening? And we're like, we don't know. We just do it because everybody else does it, and it's super fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be a good piece of investigative journalism.
Yeah,
for
we
you
might
guys
have to hit the pavement on this one.
Yeah.
But I know Ben knows a lot of the backstory. He's been around for several years, and you know, he has a lot of relationship with the fans and the players, and he gets to go out there on the field.
Yeah,
Ben always will come up to us and take our picture, and I feel like at some point people are going to like, look at that cute couple. It's like we're always just like butted up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on today, David.
It is my pleasure.
We're definitely going to – I'm admiring your – is this a first season
this
T-shirt?
The first season Triple Pickle T-shirt, which I don't think they make anymore.
I have not seen it.
Mine is getting a little ratty.
But that's – it's like beautiful.
It's great. I love it.
It's the OG Pickle gear.
We love it.
Yeah. But we'll be sure to say hi. Where are your seats again?
We sit literally right behind the warm-up circles for the Pickles. So please come down.
We have this weird VIP access where we just tell the girl at the ticket, hey, we're with the podcast, but we never get a ticket. So we just kind of like...
If people show up and say, hey, those are our seats, we have to, you know, we'll just leave.
We wander. We're also wanderers.
Well, come on down.
Yeah, we'll say hi for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And thank you for like allowing us. You know, I know that we borrowed a couple of your shots for cool Instagram moments.
It's my pleasure.
And that's
really
awesome.
Super cool. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for meeting us.
Thank you.
What are you doing here?
Time now for Inside Baseball, our weekly segment where we talk the weird stuff, the rules, the traditions, the myth, the legends of the beautiful American pastime.
Yeah.
So I rounded up. We are cheating a little bit this week. I'm using MLB rules, but I feel like I got to imagine, I couldn't find this online, but I got to imagine most of these translate down to the NCAA, which would mean that our Pickles have to play by these. So we're calling this that most of these rules, I imagine, are part of our game as well. I'm going to read a few of these 10 strange but true rules from MLB's official rule book. So, Jeremiah, I'm going to read them. Let's just riff. Let's just talk. Number 10 on this list, it's rule 5.09, parentheses G. See, I love that. That's like a congressional thing. Runners advance one base if a pitched ball, quote, lodges in the umpire's or catcher's mask or paraphernalia.
Really?
So,
if someone's bringing the heat, then they can actually lodge it in someone's mask.
Dude, I wonder if this, like...
You can't just keep running.
No, you just get one base.
The catcher can't take his mask off and throw it to first.
And he can't... Like, if it's stuck, like, if he basically can't get it out, you can't just get an inside-the-park home run.
Right. See, and I know that's also a rule is, like, if you're a catcher, you can't use your mask to corral the ball.
Yeah.
Or it's like the player gets a base.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you can only use your glove. But I...
Of any size.
Of any size. You can use your pillow-length glove to get the ball. But, dude, can you imagine how... flipping scary it would be to be a catcher or an ump and just like blink and there's a ball like just whack
stuck in your face.
Just well, like you just see it go the other way. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So you only get one base though.
That's fair.
It's a fair system.
That's all right. Fair. What else you got?
I'm gonna save the best for last.
Okay.
So we're going to this one. Pitchers are allowed to switch their throwing arm in the middle of an at bat. But only if they've injured the other one. If one does, they do not get an opportunity to warm up with the other arm. So first of all, like let's say you just get dinged with like a heater right back to the mound.
A little chuck and duck and you don't duck.
And you don't duck and you're just like, dude, that's my throwing arm. And he's like, look, man, you can stay in the game.
Yeah, but why? They got a
whole it's like they have a bowl. Like, this must have been where they're like,
no,
dude,
I'm finishing this.
It's like some sea captain.
I guess if you had like a no-hitter or something going, like what if
how many switch throwers do you think are even in the game that could actually bring any type of the same velocity? I mean, there's switch hitters, obviously, but
I'd say if none.
Right?
I've never heard of that.
An ambidextrous, like, okay, pitcher, I can throw 95 with my right, but with my left, I throw 87. Just not much of
a... What if they just, I mean, that's my changeup.
Yeah.
Each time they switch.
Yeah, each time they switch. It's like, look, man, you can stay. I do really love the fact, like, you have, if this, let's say this came to true, there's a guy who has an injured arm, and they're like, no, you don't get to warm up with that. He's like, can I just get one practice? He's like, nope.
Nope.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
If you're a batter, you don't get to switch. You're not allowed to switch it during an at-bat.
I guess there is. I've never.
If you are injured.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But how would you? Yeah.
But it is. This guy's like limp right arm. Just can't even lift
just
it.
Just hanging.
Just hanging.
We don't care.
We don't care, bro.
No warm-ups.
Yeah.
Do it. Let's go.
Blows out his other arm, and then he's just gorilla arming out there.
You have to kick it.
Yeah, that's the extra rule. You can kick it, but only if both of your arms have ceased to
work. Warm-ups.
No warm-up kicks.
Sorry.
Zero warm-up kicks. All right, so my last rule that I think is the best one. When a manager, coach, or player are ejected, they are expressly permitted, not just permitted, expressly permitted, to take a seat in the stands as long as they changed into street clothes and are, quote, well removed from the vicinity of the team's bench or bullpen.
Yeah, you can't be given signs.
Can't be given signs.
You can't be shouting instructions, but you can hang out. We'll buy a dog, get a beer.
And you're not even getting the employee discount on that dog because he's like, dude, I'm the manager. It's like, look at these street clothes, bro.
Yeah.
What kind of a manager would be wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Well, and going back to episode one, when we are inside the jar, I talked about seeing the guy get thrown out and have to like slam the gate behind him.
So he could have, but in collegiate woodbat, there isn't really any place that isn't that close.
You're pretty close to the dugouts no matter what.
Yeah, like you'd have to like get out.
You gotta go sit on the berm.
On the berm and just in your little Hawaiian shirt, your pickle on a
Take
stick.
Take your bag and get out.
Oh, dude. I wonder if anybody, I want to look up after the show if anybody's actually done this. Because this, I mean, who is the Mets manager who tried to sneak
Bobby
in?
Bobby Valentin.
And then yeah. Ichiro just did it.
Yeah, I heard he did it.
As like a joke. He wore the sunglasses.
That was at Yankee Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, so he just recently did it as a joke. I just to get back at the umps, be like, you think I'm just leaving? You think I'm going into the clubhouse?
You're not the boss of me.
I'm going up to the nosebleeds, and I'm cursing you out from 350 feet away.
You saw the guy get kicked out the other day, and he was like, I think it was the Padres manager, and as he was leaving, he was like, don't worry, Joe. I'll be in here when you get the next call wrong.
Oh.
It was a pretty good little jab.
Did you hear that thing that's going around the internet of the Mets, the mic'd up ejection?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you got to watch that. If you're a fan of baseball, go watch. It's just called like, it's Thor, the pitcher.
Syndergaard.
Syndergaard. He tries to throw out a batter and it sails way behind him and they immediately eject him. And the man, dude, it is some of the best YouTube. Yeah. Like, just spend a minute. I also saw just one more thing. This is the anniversary, yesterday was the anniversary of the, I believe it was the Pirates manager or maybe coach who got so mad he took first base with him when he got ejected.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
He just was like, he like chewed you out and then he was like, bye.
Yeah. I saw a pitcher and Buck Showalter both get kicked out of the Orioles game last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty great. The awesome. Pitcher, like, came at the umpire. Like, they had to hold him back.
Arguing balls and strikes?
No, what happened is they called a balk. They called a balk. And
pitchers get real mad about that one.
And right, Nelson Cruz hit a pop fly, and so they caught it, and they thought it was the out, and then they're like, no.
No, you balked first.
But no one saw him call the balk, and as soon as he was like, no, that was a balk, the dude just lost it and went right at him. So he got kicked out, and then it was, then Buck, you know.
You got to defend.
It was great. I love seeing people get kicked out.
Oh, dude.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah. And then, so we're going to do one more. This is actually NCAA. So these are weird NCAA rule violations.
Yeah. Local team.
Local team. So this is University of Oregon. The school treated the baseball team, I picked it because it was baseball, to a meal, one of 12 permitted during an academic year, in some mini golf and laser tag. Jody Sykes, Oregon's chief compliance officer, reported the after news of laser-based fun, assuming the NCAA would consider it, quote, impermissible entertainment. Mm. Which to me sounds like you took your team to a strip club. Like, impermissible.
This is impermissible.
Laser tag.
Puritanical laws.
Oh, man.
You guys were running around with lasers?
I think it's anything that causes a student-athlete to smile is impermissible entertainment.
You think these student-athletes are supposed to be working hard and studying?
No.
Now you got them shooting
the
lasers at each other?
The only entertainment is going to a sad movie.
Yeah.
And crying. So, so many weird baseball, man. Just a chock full of weird stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated every time.
As comedians, we just don't live our lives like this, you know?
No. Oh, God. Can you imagine just rules?
Club owners.
You just like... Sorry, nope. Man, the mic has to be 2 inches exactly. It's like, well, what? The joke still worked. It's like, that's a balk right there.
Yeah.
And I would fly off the handle.
Be
I'm
terrible.
Prone to flying off the handle already. So, yeah.
Without the rules.
Without the rules. So, yeah.
Awesome.
High five.
Brian Time.
Well, that was the show. Thank you guys again so much for joining Brian Time with Jake and Jeremiah. Jeremiah. We're going to keep it. I'm rolling with it. Remember I called you Jeremy one time and how mad you got so mad.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't know why I'm messing up your name. Thank you again. Yeah, we're having a blast doing this.
5 years.
We really are enjoying. People have been reaching out all the time.
Yeah, people reaching out on the email. So if you want to, BrineTime503@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Our Instagram and Twitter are BrineTimePod.
BrineTime_pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's great. And then BrineTimePod.com if you want to check it out there. What's coming up for our boys? We are recording this on a Tuesday. This will come out on a Wednesday, the 27th. So I imagine right now the Knights have been demolished, unknighted, I would say.
Yeah.
We have a 3-game away series in Corvallis, 26th, 27th, 28th. And then the weekend, 29th, 30th, and then the 1st, we are back in town against the Bend Elks.
Yeah, Bend Elks.
There also is a exhibition game against Aggression Gray Rooms, a day game on June 30 if you want to check out a day game over at Walker Stadium. And then the old big homestand, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July. We'll obviously hit another podcast before
Yeah,
all
we'll
of
be
that.
Back to you before then, but we're excited about
but
it.
But we are very excited about that. I will definitely
be
at,
out there.
I'll be there probably maybe for the 4th, definitely for the 5th, and those will be against the Cowlitz Black Bears. But yeah, so yeah, continue reaching out. It really means a lot to us that you guys are listening, and you know, if you want to write in, do it any of the ways that we just told you, and you know, talk a little smack too. I love.
Yeah, if there's things you don't like, we'd like to hear about that.
I
too.
Love the praise, but I feed on tension and
it's true
uncomfortable situations. So if you got some of those, throw them our way, and we will be back with you guys next Wednesday. So go Pickles!
Shout out to Marimba Mike.
Marimba Mike is our opening theme song, and Dusty Fox giving us the outro music. Our producers here at X-Ray, Liam Flanagan, and then. Clarissa is guest producing.
Larissa.
Why did I say Clarissa explains it all?
Larissa is going to explain to you that that's not her name.
Dude, names are not my thing, but I remember faces, Larissa. So I will. That sounds creepy to say, honestly. I remember faces. No, we're not going to. Let's keep rolling. No, we're doing this. We're staying it. Larissa, guest producing. And Liam, I hope wherever you are in Chico, California, you're enjoying the sunshine on your pretty little face.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you guys next week. Go Pickles.
Yeah. Light the spark out at Lance Park. Cracking wooden bats, slapping, illuminate the dark. Popcorn, sunflower seeds, PDX and North Precious in the West Coast League. Yeah, Portland. Never known to be fickle. Deep in Southeast, that's the home of the pickles. Brine time. Home of the pickles, brine time, that's the home of the pickles.